While we are still standing, I'd like to offer the scripture lesson for our sermon, a scripture passage that we shall deal with in a few moments' time. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I begin reading in verse 12. This is the living and active word of the Lord. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's children said.
Amen.
Join me in prayer. Almighty God, give us grace to be not only hearers, but doers of thy holy word, to not only admire, but to obey your doctrine, to not only profess, but to practice your precepts, not merely confessing that we love, but may we live according to your gospel. We pray this for the honor and glory of the name of Jesus Christ, whose name we bear, and that we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. We pray this in his matchless name, and all of God's children said.
Amen.
You may be seated. You'll find in the insert in your order of worship the order that we will be following for this service of installation. Dear saints, our Lord is pleased to provide servants for his servants, particular people to serve his particular people. Throughout history, our Lord has set apart particular servants to represent him and his ways. We know of the appointment and the recognition of priests, kings, and prophets in the scriptures. These priests, kings, and prophets were to obey, and they were to represent the Lord according to their callings. They were to serve his people, the priests. They were to demonstrate and spread our Lord's regal majesty, the kings, and they were to tell forth his wondrous word, the prophets. Each of these, priests, kings, and prophets, were distinctively set apart and appointed. Now, of course, these roles are fulfilled faithfully and finally in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the final high priest. He is the King of Kings, and he is the promised prophet. Our Lord Jesus Christ was set apart, and he has recognized and set each of us apart, for we are a distinctive people. We are his royal priesthood. We are citizens of his kingdom, and we are the people shaped by, indeed made by, his sure prophetic word. Our Lord Jesus also recognizes his appointed servants, his under-shepherds, his ministers, his pastors, and it is good for us to do the same. And this is part of what we are doing here today as we install Pastor Stephen Jeffrey to the office of pastor, a fellow minister of word and sacrament, here at All Saints Presbyterian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Our Lord gifts particular ministers. Our Lord equips them for his work. And then our Lord gives those servants as gifts to particular congregations. They are recognized, they are appointed. Paul and Barnabas appointed overseers in every church where the gospel took root. And then Paul later on instructed Titus to do the same. Appoint elders in every town in Crete. That's why I left you there. Particular servants are appointed among a particular group of a particular people. We are particularly blessed. Join me in prayer. Almighty God, you are the one who calls life from the dead, and you give life and light to your people. Now, through the access granted by your beloved Son, who is life and light, we acknowledge your love for your church and that you love your bride more than we do. So because of your love, we ask for your continued blessings to rest upon us here, this day, and beyond. Cause your face to shine upon us, for we are your congregation. Grant your servants peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and ready limbs to obey. For we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, the head of the church. And amen. Elder Douglas.
What a blessing, after so many months, to be celebrating the installation of our brother and second pastor, the Reverend Dr. Stephen Jeffrey. As many of you are aware, we called Pastor Jeffrey of Emmanuel Church in London to our open pastoral position on March 31st, 2019. That was following a constitutional vote, a vote according to our Constitution that was held 2 weeks prior. And he and Nicole and the children joyfully accepted that call via Skype later that day. The vote, as with Pastor Neil 9 years prior, was unanimous. The call to Pastor Jeffrey was extended following a nearly 2-year search, initially aimed toward an associate pastor, and thereafter more sharply pointed toward candidates experienced and ready to serve on day one. For Pastor Neil's workload was already weighty and steadily growing, as you can see around you in this sanctuary. Through this season of searching, the session was convicted by the parable of the talents and the exhortation, to whom much is given, much will be required, from Luke 12:48. Clearly, God was and is doing a special work in our midst. We believed he was calling us to trust and lean into a bigger vision for the open pastoral opportunity and for the church. While we considered several men, God revealed the possibility of Pastor Jeffrey upon the family's visit in the summer of 2018. The following 8 months were a season of getting to know him and the family and anticipation of his nomination and congregational vote. The men of the session, all of us and our wives, had the opportunity to witness Pastor Jeffrey's ministry in London, and we were all beneficiaries of lovely hospitality in their home. We've since enjoyed Minister-elect Jeffrey's teaching in the 2019 Reformation celebration, in the 2020 All Saints Conference, and through many virtual studies and devotions. While we anticipated the Jeffrey's arrival a year ago, that was not God's plan. And we're glad that you're here today. His fingerprints, God's fingerprints, were evident upon every point in the journey. He is indeed good and faithful and faithfully good. The psalmist said it best from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. Certainly today is a day to lift up our hearts and give thanks to God for his wonderful deeds, for he has yet again blessed us richly. As Tony highlighted, we have been given much, and because of this, God requires much from us. There's no doubt that we have been entrusted with a great deal. So what do we do now? What is it that God requires from us? Well, before we answer that, let's first clarify how we should view what we are doing here today. Today, we're going to install Pastor Jeffrey officially as a co-pastor, a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. This is a day to celebrate. This marks the end of what has been a very long process of calling a second minister here to All Saints. It is also a validation of Pastor Jeffrey's credentials as a minister, his worthiness of this high calling. At the same time, it is a reason to celebrate another elder being added to our session and another family being added to this congregation. Without question, there are many, many things that are part of today's significance and a reason to celebrate. But at the heart, at the very core of what we do today, is our giving thanks to God, our recognizing his powerful and good hand is at work here and now. We're acknowledging and affirming that everything that has taken place, including the very timing that has brought us to this day, it is all of God and is all very good, because God is very good. We stand in awe not only of his work and his blessings to us, but also on the great calling he now places on Steve as a minister of Jesus Christ. And for all of this, we are very thankful and hopeful. Not just in what is ahead of us, but also in who is ahead of us. You see, when we recognize that this is all from God, everything then can be seen in light of his eternal purposes. Our hope is in Christ, who was and is to come. This day, this event, and all the not-so-minor miracles that led up to it, they all point not to earthly things or man's accomplishments or even to our blessings. They point directly to the one who holds all things squarely in his hand and orchestrates all time according to his purposes and for his glory. Our God is good, and he does good, always. Especially today, we can see this. So today is a day for us to hit reset on our thinking, on whatever we think God is doing or not doing here, and to take a fresh look at the many signs and wonders he has given us, then to strap on the weighty responsibility that comes with the great blessings we have been entrusted with. But what will that responsibility require from us? None of us really can say, for none of us know what the future holds. But we all know the one who holds our future. So our primary responsibility is to be willing to do whatever the Lord has for us right now, and to do it with thankfulness and hope, because we serve the only true God. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah talks at length about how God is great and his greatness is so far above us that it is incomprehensible. He then goes on to command us, because of God's greatness, to lift our eyes to the heavens. So maybe you've been distracted by pandemics and politics. Many of us have over the last year or so. Indeed, now let's move our eyes to where they belong. Let's raise our eyes to heaven, as Isaiah tells us, and see the God who is creator of all, including creating us, now to honor him in all his majesty and all his marvelous ways. Today we celebrate God's faithfulness to us, the answering of our prayers, and doing so in a way that clearly shows that he is the one in control of all things, all timing, and that he does all things according to his good and perfect sovereign will. I conclude with 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
It is customary at a time such as this to give a charge to the new minister. Dear Steve, as you well know, being called to and serving as a pastor is a great blessing and a weighty calling. But one cannot address the new minister without also addressing the congregation. So, dear congregation, according to Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, who descended among us and then ascended victoriously, has given gifts to his bride. Jesus did this as a faithful and loving bridegroom. These gifts include servants for his church. This is the way it is phrased. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given gifts to his bride. And these gifts have names. Steve, as we have gotten to know each other over the years, we have been amazed at our Lord's kindness that he employs servants like us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been pleased to demonstrate his love for his image bearers by enlisting his image bearers to declare his ways in praise. This provides an immediate dose of humility, some significant trembling. John Calvin phrased it this way: to consider a puny man risen from the dust speaks in God's name. The Apostle Paul: truly, our Lord has hidden the treasure of his heavenly wisdom in weak and earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Each of you know that you are weak, faltering, failing, and yet you also know that the Lord Jesus Christ is strong and faithful and ready. You know this. Your pastors know this. The pastorate every day shows that we are made of clay. We are weak. We are dependent upon the Lord so that the Lord receives the glory from our labors. Truly and still, our Lord's strength is manifested in our weakness. Now, along with our fellow elders, it is not uncommon during times such as a charge to a minister to be joined by others, for comments to be given, for charges to be shared, encouragement to be present. Well, the same is true for us. A couple of servants could not be with us today. However, there are words of encouragement and charges to you. Oops. First of all, dear Jeffrey family, your dear friend, Steve, your fellow servant for many years, Pastor Steve Hayhow, has a few words of encouragement with regard to yours and our focus on the Scriptures, to be a man of the Word. And I'd like to share these words with you now.
Greetings from the elders and the people at the Emmanuel Church in North London, and to our brothers and sisters at Fort Worth, and to Steve Jeffrey and his family. The session asked me to say a few words on this occasion of Steve, your installation, and so I just want to say, make a few comments for you today. First of all, thinking about the current situation that we're all dealing with, it's interesting to note the responses of ministers of the gospel. Perhaps in our tradition, one of the temptations is to feel the need to speak on every matter, the need to speak about in detail, or even feel the pressure to pronounce on contemporary matters in detail. This is a fine line, isn't it? Now, a bit of background. One of the healthy things in our generation, in my lifetime, has been the recovery of a more full-orbed, all-encompassing, all-embracing view of the Christian faith as covering all areas of life. And that has been a source of life and energy in our churches and Christian community that was long overdue and much needed. However, it comes with certain pitfalls and certain temptations. For ministers of the gospel, it could imply that somehow now the minister is to be able to pronounce on every matter that is presented to him. And I want to turn us back to Paul's instructions to Timothy, where he tells Timothy very clearly that he is to preach the word in season and out of season and so on and so forth. But the key thing is very simple there. Timothy is to give himself to the preaching of the word. And there is a fine line when we apply that word between preaching the word faithfully and then preaching our particular interpretation, application, implementation in details, in all areas of life, in a way that becomes unhelpful. So my exhortation to you today on your inauguration, Steve, at Fort Worth, is maintain an all-encompassing whole life ministry of the word. But be careful. It's the word that we are to teach. It is the word that we are to, the people need to hear. And I will say to you, brothers and sisters in session at Fort Worth, keep wanting the word. Keep wanting Steve to go back to the truth in fresh ways, with fresh insight and with new application. But please don't expect him to be the world expert on every matter that arises. If we believe that our lives are divided into different spheres of authority and capability, then we should recognize the minister of the gospel has his own sphere. And obviously these are not neatly insulated areas of life that don't touch one another or even overlap with one another, but they are distinct responsibilities and we need to stay within our responsibilities. So my encouragement to you all today is to stay focused on the scriptures, the teaching of the scriptures. There is plenty for us here. And let's not confuse the message of the gospel with all the cultural details and our opinions about politics and policy and masks and viruses and all the rest of it to impinge upon the purity of the gospel. Let's have it that nobody ever hesitates at our church door because our church is noted for this particular detail that obscures the name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Dear Jeffrey family, you have another friend, another voice from years gone by. Steve, this man has been your mentor. He is also a fellow servant of yours. And some very good encouragement here about the inevitable difficulties that you will face. Christ-likeness is formed through such trials and difficulty. And you know, dear brother, that ours is a costly calling. So receive now these words from your mentor, your fellow servant, your friend, David Field.
Steve and Nicole and Ben and Becky and Abby, this is a momentous day for you and for All Saints Presbyterian Church. And I'm so grateful to Jeff for the invitation to record some words of encouragement. Steve, you and I go back nearly 20 years. We've shared sadness and loss together. We've borne burdens together, learned so much from each other. Have, I trust, spurred each other on to love and good works. And in and through all this can declare both that the Lord does all things well and that his grace is sufficient. I've nothing flashy to say. No new insights. I mean, obviously, never get involved in a land war in Asia, don't drink your own Kool-Aid, and don't run with scissors. But beyond those, just this. It's hard for a rich man to enter, or for the super competent man to serve in the kingdom of God. The kingdom, after all, is for the poor in spirit, and poverty of spirit is the way of the cross. Jesus grew poverty of spirit in Peter, asking him the question the third time, knowing that it would hurt Peter. He grew poverty of spirit in Paul, declining to remove the thorn from his lion paw, despite being asked three times. And Jesus manifested poverty of spirit in his willingness to drink the cup, despite three times asking the Father to remove it. That last one is the basis of my encouragement to you, Steve. Because Gethsemane is on the way to the cross. And that means that taking up our cross involves time in Gethsemane. And alongside much else, what we see there is Jesus, whose emotional experience and bodily sensations are aspects and expressions of each other. He knelt. He fell on his face. He sweat. He uttered loud cries and tears, and he was in anguish. And we see a Jesus who is wholly honest with his Father, saying, "I really, really, really don't want to do this, Father. Please don't make me do it." Jesus spent quite a long time, and Jesus used very few recorded words, but present in his body and honest with his Father, he was real about the cost of his calling, and then able to say, "Rise, let us be going." I believe that poor in spirit, amongst other things, means, like the Jesus of Gethsemane, being fully and emotionally present in our body and being unhurriedly honest with our Father. Sharing his sufferings like that, in life and in ministry, is how we know the power of his resurrection. I thank God for you, Steve. You are one of the Lord's most wonderful gifts to the church in this generation. And here's my encouragement to you, my super competent friend and dear brother. Seek, like Jesus, to be fully and emotionally present in your actual, physical, flesh and blood, muscles and bones, body. Seek, like Jesus, to be unhurriedly honest with your Father, which sometimes means long prayer but few words. As you do so, then, like Jesus, you will walk the way of the cross in the power of the resurrection. Bless you, Steve. Bless you all, Jeffreys. Bless you all, saints. And all praise to God.
We've had the privilege of getting to know you over the years. A number of years ago, Pastor Booth and I had the privilege of having you come to the very first Gloria Sancta that was coupled up with the Summer Sanctus, and you were running back and forth, but you brought your children with you as well, and what a joy to get to know all of you. And at this time, it is my privilege to invite our friend and fellow servant, Pastor Booth. Please come.
What a privilege to be here. It's been a while since I've been in this pulpit and seen you, and to see how the Lord has blessed you and how this congregation has grown. And now, again, another blessing. I invite your attention to two short verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Let a man so consider us," Paul writes, "as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." As the overseeing pastor of the mission church called All Saints Presbyterian Church of Fort Worth, Texas, I was present at your birth, and I watched you grow into adulthood. I'm proud of you, and I see the great progress that you've made in Christ. Along the way, you've had a pastor and elders who have been faithful overseers. With Pastor Neil, you've had a faithful minister of word and sacrament who has diligently brought them to you both publicly and privately. He has done so day after day and night after night, year after year, instant, in season, and out of season. And since the Lord has seen fit to add to your number, he has also provided now another faithful shepherd to continue his care for you. It's very evident that Jesus loves you very much. And so, little children, love your pastors and elders and deacons and give thanks to God. In addition, I come to you as a representative of Wycliffe Presbytery, of the Communion of the Reformed Evangelical Churches. I am currently serving as the presiding minister pro tem, and I am pleased to commend to you Pastor Steve Jeffrey as a man of proven faithfulness to Christ. Our text begins by, we're going to make 3 points here today, but it begins when Paul says that he is a servant or minister of Christ. This man who we are about to install as one of your pastors works for Jesus Christ. That's his boss. That's who he is accountable to. Jesus is the Lord, and Pastor Jeffrey is his servant. Jesus owns him, not only personally, as he does every Christian, but he has, as a servant, been elevated now to a high position among servants. He has been recognized by God. He has been recognized by the church as a gifted man, the gifts that were given to him by Christ himself and then given to the church. He was called out from among others to fulfill that calling to serve Christ and the church as a special minister. Think about what happened to Joseph when he found himself in prison. We read in Genesis 39, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper." In this fallen world, which is like a prison from which we all await final deliverance, in the meantime, God selects certain proven men to care for and minister to others. It was Joseph's faithfulness to God, no matter where he was, that led to his recognition as a special servant. Not only has Pastor Jeffrey been recognized, elevated, and set apart as a servant of Christ, he has also, like Joseph, been given other people to care for and to minister to. He serves Christ by serving those who have been placed under his care by Christ. You should always remember that your pastors are gifts to you from Jesus. And he has gifted and given these particular pastors to you for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the essential work of the ministry. But he's not only a servant. Paul goes on to say that he is also a steward of the mysteries of God. That is the gospel. He's been entrusted with the gospel. When the apostle wrote this final letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, who was the pastor at the church at Ephesus, in 2 Timothy, he wrote from the Mamertine prison in Rome, where he had been in prison for preaching the gospel.
His primary concern as he prepared to leave this world was to secure the gospel for future generations. It's no longer beyond the imagination that we could see our own ministers in similar situations. And so he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, he says, "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." And so he says then to Timothy, this pastor, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So Paul uses this allusion, this idea of a deposit, the good thing which was committed to you. We have deposited or committed something to God, but God has also deposited or committed something with us. And your pastors have also been given this charge, to guard the treasure, to guard that deposit, to keep the commitment. People are constantly trying to water down or change the gospel of Christ. In other words, they seek to rob us of what we have been given. There seems to be an especially concerted effort to do this in the public realm. There is a lot of talk about God, but which God? There's no room for the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is presented in the Word of God, mostly a soft ecumenical shadow of Christianity, which isn't Christianity at all. That's the only thing that's allowed in the public arena. This is one of the reasons our children are so easily persuaded by the pop culture. They have nothing sturdy underneath them. Pastor Jeffrey, God has made a good deposit with you. In the context, the good deposit has to be the gospel, which is the standard of sound words. Good health or healthy words have been given to you. God's word is that standard. All the other words are unhealthy and destructive. And so Paul wrote to Titus that the elders must hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. Finally, Paul says that of this minister and of this steward is required faithfulness. That's it. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. This single requirement for this call to be a servant of Christ and of the gospel is simply faithfulness, full of faith. This describes one who trusts in God's promises, who is convinced that Jesus did in fact rise up from the dead, who is convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and the only author of salvation. And in order for Pastor Jeffrey to do what he has been called to do, he must be full of faith, because it is essential that he deeply believe what he will be teaching you to believe. There must be a sincerity and earnestness to his faith, which is evident to all. You'll see it publicly in his passion in the pulpit, but more importantly, you'll see it in his private application in his home toward his wife and children, in your home toward you and your family, in this church toward men, women, boys, and girls, and in the world toward the lost. You see, a faithful pastor knows that in himself he is utterly inadequate to fulfill what he's been called to do. He will have many moments of self-doubt, but his faith remains not in himself, but in Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul himself wrote, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Pastor Jeffrey, thank you for your past faithfulness to Christ and his gospel. And now, in the words of the Apostle Paul, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. May you in the coming years be able to say what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. And to this congregation of All Saints Presbyterian Church, I charge you to love your pastors and pray for them and encourage them and thank them and thank God for them. And may the broader church see you and your fruit and be blessed for many, many years to come, all the way into eternity. Your ministers are never limited to just their local ministry. You will share these gifts that Jesus gave you with others. And may it be said of you, as it was of the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 9, and I'll close with this, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and with all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Father, we thank you now for these gifts that you've given and for the blessings upon this congregation. We ask that they would remain faithful, that Pastor Jeffrey, Pastor Neil, the session, the deacons, and all this congregation would press on together to Zion for your glory and the good of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Jeffrey, would you please come forward as I ask you these questions about your commitment to this calling? Do you commit yourself in this new trust and responsibility in the confidence that it comes from God through the church, through the call of the church?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you believe the Bible, the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, to be the inerrant Word of God, fully authoritative, and the only infallible rule of faith and practice? And do you promise to be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and in your use of the means of grace?
I do, and I ask God to help.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the doctrinal standards of this church as essentially containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this system of doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make known to your session the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this installation?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you, as a fellow minister of this church, and as a member of the session of elders, commit yourself to the duties of oversight, care, protection, and provision of this flock, knowing that our Lord has commanded that we feed and tend the sheep.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you promise to love, serve, and pray for God's people, nourish them with the word and sacraments, and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you accept the office of fellow minister in this church and promise to faithfully perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of which God has made you an overseer?
I do, and I ask God to help me.
May our Lord, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to join me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the scripture reading that I offered to you before the beginning of this enacted sermon and service of installation. So if you'll have your Bibles open and ready there in 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll make a few observations on this passage in just a moment. Before we do so, receive this. Dear saints, this now is the charge to you. As those who serve together, worship together, pray and work together, there is a necessary connection between the pastor and the people, the minister and the member. This is inevitable. This is the way our Lord has wired things to be. Our Lord has given gifts to us and guidance for us. We all want a healthy church. And a healthy church is not simply a matter of the pastor. It's also a call upon the people. So as we take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, here we go. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect or to recognize who? Those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And this is part of what we are doing here. We're actually obeying Scripture today. We ask you to respect or to recognize those who are, three matters are stated, those who labor among you and those who are over you. That's a bit of an odd statement. It can mean either over or before. Over as in appointed to lead, or those who are before you, that is those who stand in front of you so as to care and protect. Meeting with many other pastors, there comes a time when someone takes the bullet. So this particular word here, those who are over you, can mean those who have been appointed over you to lead you, as well as those who are to stand before you, to care for you and to protect you, as well as those who admonish or advise and instruct you. The church, the Thessalonian church, was called to respect, to recognize those who have been so appointed. Verse 13, and to do what? And to esteem them, regard them very highly in love because of their work. Why is this? This is to be done because of the Lord's gifts, because of the Lord's appointments. And when this is done, take a look at what follows. Verses 12 and 13, recognize or respect those who are laboring among you, those who have been set over you or in front of you, those who advise you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then look at this. When this is done, the very end there, be at peace among yourselves. That's almost like it's just dangling there. It's almost like a phrase. What in the world is that doing there? This is the first command in this passage. And by the way, this passage is filled with commands. Do this, do this, do this, do this. This is the first command. Be at peace among yourselves. But it's not just a command. It's also a consequence of doing the previous. If you regard or respect those whom the Lord has given, those who are laboring in front of you, over you, and who are instructing you, if you esteem them highly in love because of their work, the result will be there'll be peace. You'll be at peace among yourselves. Now, if there's a refusal to regard others, it's often because there is a busyness in regarding oneself. And that always results in a raw, peacelessness. There is to be a loving regard of the laborers in the vineyard because of the Lord's appointment, because of their work among us. This will result in a similar work occurring among us. When Pastor Jeffrey is serving this way among you, you are to then serve this way among one another. And that's why the rest of this passage is filled with commands. Commands. I'm just going to cite the commands to you right now. These are all commands, other than be at peace. Then encourage the faint-hearted. Help or lay hold of the weak. Be patient or slow to wrath with all. See that, in verse 15, no one repays evil for evil, but always seek. Seek is a command. Verse 16, rejoice is a command. Verse 17, pray is a command. Verse 18, giving thanks is a command. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit is a command. Verse 20, do not despise the prophecies. That's a command. And then verse 21, test. That's a command. And hold fast to the good. That's a command as well. Verse 22, abstain from any form of evil. Command, command, command all the way through. We all want a healthy church. What does a healthy church look like? Very briefly here, we urge you, brothers, in verse 14, admonish the idle. Advise or instruct the idle. Now, that word idle actually means the unruly or those who are out of order, out of step. And whenever someone's getting out of step, they're usually rather inflated with themselves. And any group of Christians can get together. There'll be some people that are puffed up and some people that are, they'll be inflated and other people that are deflated. This is common among us. Pastors are aware of it. You are aware of it. So when there's someone who is inflated, come alongside of them and instruct, advise, admonish. And then what do you do with those who are deflated? The very next phrase, encourage the faint-hearted. Fascinating word there. It means shriveled soul, small soul. Sometimes you'll encounter someone whose soul seems to have shriveled. So we've got this wind going on here. Some are inflated, some are deflated. Encourage those who are faint-hearted, and then help. Lay hold of the weak. Come alongside of the weak and lay hold of them. You want that from your pastor. And then be patient or slow to wrath with all. And there's no exceptions here. Well, you know, that I'll be patient with this side of the room, but not that side of the room. It's be patient with all, slow to wrath with all, stop getting enraged with everyone. If a congregation will act this way, there will be peace among them. Verse 15, see to it that no one repays evil for evil. Don't even go there. But always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Verse 16, be full of joy. Verse 17, be full of prayer constantly. Verse 18, be full of thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And when that happens, there's another result. Do not quench the Spirit. What's the Spirit doing among us? Encouraging us to encourage one another, to lay hold of the weak, to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the prophecies. You know, we live in a day where people think there's a greater possibility of societal change through the voting booth than there is through the Bible and the ministry of the gospel. That's a tragedy. Let us not despise, do not despise the prophecies. Test everything, hold fast to what is good, and abstain, get away from every form of evil. This is supposed to be present from pastor, in the pastor and in the people. And a healthy congregation will demonstrate this. And by the way, this will be the finest reception that any pastor can ever receive when a congregation says, yes, I'll do that. I'll work on that. Pastor Jeffrey, I'd like to give thanks for the privilege of co-laboring with you, for your prayers, for your encouragement. Dear congregation, before your questions, I'd also like to, perhaps surprisingly to you, give thanks for COVID-19. Because of that which has been shown, known, or revealed. The matters pertaining to COVID-19, including the difficulties, provided an opportunity for Pastor Jeffrey and me to work together through things that otherwise we would have not had the opportunity to work through together. You find out a lot about someone when they're going through trials and difficulties. And so I stand before you and I say, I thank the Lord for... I'm trying to give thanks in all circumstances, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to work with you and to discuss matters with you in the session on this. Over the last year, 2020, due to COVID-19, I have learned a great deal about what was revealed. I've learned a great deal about me and others and the church. But first of all, I learned about my reception of God's providence. Even when I do not understand or may not even agree with things or others. Furthermore, regarding others, I learned more about my love for others and my willingness to encourage and be patient and whether or not I had a short fuse. So for this, I give thanks and I have the privilege of working with you through so much of this. Thank you for the teaching that you offered to the congregation, the leadership of services as well. Finally, dear congregation, I'd like to end with that which is new and that which is not new. You all know this. That which is new, having two ministers here at All Saints. This is new for you, and it's also new for Pastor Jeffrey and me. This is new for us. What is not new is the opposition of our ancient foe. Sometimes we should ask this question, if I was the devil, what would I do? If I was the devil, what would I do is I would have you close this. Forget about this being patient with all. Forget about this rejoicing and praying and thanksgiving. Forget about this reception of instruction. If I was the devil, you know what I would do? The devil, it is always consistent because the devil is a splitter. Would love to see divisions, would love to see, and what does the Greek word diabolos mean? It means to throw through, to take a ball and to throw it through, separating this side from this side. So if I was the devil, what would I do? I would say, let's play sides here. We got this pastor and we got that pastor. And remember, factionalism in the church was not the sin of Paul or Cephas or Apollos. Factionalism in the church of Corinth was the sin of the people. So, what would our ancient foe do? Would love to see a split. Love to see you split from your love for the Lord and His Word. Would love to see splits between one another and family to family. So, what do I ask of you? Pray for us. Beware of divisiveness. For that is what our ancient foe would love to see. So, dear congregation, I have some questions for you now. At this time, I'd like to invite you to stand. Dear congregation, do you receive Pastor Stephen Jeffrey as a messenger of Jesus Christ sent to serve all people with the gospel of hope and salvation? And do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love?
We do.
Do you promise to assist him in his labors for your instruction and spiritual edification, to pray for him and honor him for his work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ?
We do. We ask God to help us.
Dear congregation, will you yield him all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which his office, according to the word of God and constitution of this church, entitles him?
We will.
Finally, do you promise to maintain him and his family with whatever you may see needful for the honor of his office and for his comfort among you?
We do. And we ask God to help us.
You may be seated. All right. We're going to begin now with laying on of hands in prayer. Elder Capone will begin with his prayer, and then Elder Douglas, Pastor Booth, and then I will conclude.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we understand that our chief end is to glorify you, our God, and enjoy you forever. In Psalm 86:9, it says that all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. And in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Today we give all the glory to you, Lord, as we install Pastor Jeffrey to your calling here at All Saints. We acknowledge and give you thanks that you are orchestrating all of this for your good purpose and ultimately for your glory. You are the only true God, and you alone are worthy to be praised. Receive our praise now for your good blessings on us and this minister, Steve Jeffrey, called to serve here. May your work and word flow through him, helping to build up and sanctify this people, your bride, to be more like your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And may the work of your gospel prosper even more here in our families, in Fort Worth, and throughout your entire creation. And for Steve's family, grant steadfastness as they labor beside him and for your kingdom. May the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified here today, tomorrow, and forevermore through your minister, Steve Jeffrey, and all of your people here at All Saints. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, bless this dear man and his family. For they've given themselves to your service and once again endeavor to glorify you in this time and place. Pour out the Holy Spirit upon them in full measure, for theirs is a calling set apart and good. Surely Satan will seek their undoing and sorrow. Lord, protect them minute by minute as their guard and stay. Adorn them with your full armor. Cheer them in well-doing. Hold them in your right hand. May the fruit of the Spirit ripen to full harvest in their lives as a faithful testimony. Do this for Steve and Nicole in ministry, marriage, and parenting. And for Ben, Becky, and Abby in obedience, diligence, and service. May the daily encouragement of the Spirit be theirs for comfort, joy, and peace. Selah and amen.
Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you gave pastors and teachers to your church, and we're specifically thankful for the two men you have given to this congregation. We know that you have prepared and equipped them to serve you and proclaim and guard the gospel. Holy Spirit, on this day of installation of Pastor Jeffrey, we seek your anointing upon him and his ministry, that he might be a mighty instrument to feed and equip your people and to declare the gospel to a dying world. And Father, for both of these pastors, grant them great strength and readiness as they plow together for your glory and for the sake of the kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, as your children, we approach you through Jesus, the victor and the captain of our salvation. Grant us your wisdom for our labors as we seek your honor and the encouragement of your bride. Enable us to hear your word, to seek your honor and strengthen the saints. In our weakness, show yourself mighty. According to your sure word of promise, may your church be strengthened here in Fort Worth as darkness is dispelled and the gates of hell are battered. Equip your servant, Pastor Jeffrey, with wisdom and courage, shaped by the scriptures and your Holy Spirit. We pray this so that the name of Jesus is exalted, and we pray this in his name, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Stephen Jeffrey, you have been called to serve among us as a fellow minister of word and sacrament. This is a high calling and cannot be pursued or practiced apart from the provision and power of the Holy Spirit. As a servant of the Lord, may you be found to be a good and faithful servant. May our Lord bless you and prosper your labors in accordance with his love for his bride, All Saints Presbyterian Church, I present to you your new minister, Pastor Stephen Jeffrey.
Something by way of answer to the question somebody asked me in the foyer this morning. Are you going to wear a robe? And the answer is, of course, yes, I am. It's worth considering why this should be. It's basically a uniform. It's a liturgical uniform. Pastor Neil and I have the privilege here of leading you in worship. And as part of that privilege and responsibility, we first adjust our microphones appropriately, ensuring that they are indeed unmuted. Nothing more I can do this end, I'm afraid. We call you to worship God. We invite you to confess your sins. We assure you that your sins are forgiven. We speak to you. We teach the scriptures, and we invite you to eat at the Lord's table, and we have no business doing any of that. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has the right and the privilege to do that, and so we, so to speak, dress like him in blazing white as he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we're a little bit different in that sense. But this uniform also speaks of something that we have in common. It is not just the head of the body, but the body that is robed in white. It's not just, this is not a strange church where, you know, we give a white robe to everybody who is called Jeffrey. It's being suggested that I should move over. Oh, here. Got it. Thank you. In the book of Revelation, we discover that the Lord Jesus Christ will give to all his people a white robe. And so the purity of which this speaks, this whiteness speaks, is a purity which the Lord Jesus Christ grants to all of us. And the responsibilities that the priest and the king and the prophet distinctively has are responsibilities which are ours, all of us. And so it is my privilege and my family's privilege to join with you as members, as well as my privilege to join Pastor Neil as your minister, as we seek together to witness to the nations in the name of Jesus.